मयावेश्य मनो ये मां नित्ययुक्ता उभाषते श्रद्धया पर्योपेतास्थे में युक्ततमा मतः. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form are always engaged in worshipping me with great transcendental faith and are considered by me to be most perfect. Purport, does that work? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In answer to Arjuna's question, Krishna clearly says that he who concentrates upon his personal form and who worships him with faith and devotion is to be considered most perfect in yoga. For one in such consciousness, there are no material activities, because everything is done for Krishna. A pure devotee is constantly engaged. Sometimes he chants, sometimes he hears or reads books about Krishna, or sometimes he cooks prasadam or goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna, or sometimes he washes the temple or the dishes. Whatever he does not let a single moment pass without devoting his activities to Krishna. Such action is in full samadhi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshiping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. Different classes of human beings have different opinions of what is perfection. The purpose of human life is to achieve perfection. In whatever we embark on within this existence, it is our nature to try to do it as perfectly as possible. However, there is great conflict within the world because different people have different ideas of what is perfection. And for one person, in his or her idea of perfection, there is competition with others who are trying to strive for that same type of perfection. For instance, in athletics, one team considers the perfection is to be the champions. However, every team considers the perfection is to be the champions. And therefore, there is great conflict. One team becomes champion, and all the other teams lament. So our perfection is at the cost of the happiness of others. But then that perfection is very temporary, because even if we are the champions, who remains the champion for long before you are kicked back down, defeated? And to the degree victory is sweet, to that same degree, defeat is very bitter when it comes. A team that always loses doesn't mind losing so much. They're used to it. But a team that always wins, to lose is worse than death. It's devastating. All that they have built up is as far as their credibility and their records and everything else is destroyed. So perfection in this material world is very competitive and very illusory. Therefore, if we want to find real happiness in our life, we must understand perfection in terms of truth, not in terms of illusion. What is the value of achieving perfection in a condition of total illusion and ignorance? If someone were to say to you, I am perfectly ignorant. Through my life, I have worked so hard to achieve perfect ignorance. Ah, very good. Namaskar. Dandavat. Let me worship you. Nobody is concerned with that. But yet, that's what the whole world is trying to do. Svaved varaho strakaraya shamshuda parashapashu. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, they worship and praise other people who are more perfect. Dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Hare Krishna. That is our society. People are struggling so hard to be perfect scholars, perfect athletes, perfect mothers, perfect fathers, perfect businessmen, perfect lawyers, perfect politicians, but not knowing what is truth, what is the purpose of life. They're all trying to be perfect in the abode of ignorance, in the realm of ignorance. Therefore, the best they could possibly do is be perfectly ignorant. Hare Krishna. But if we want to understand what is real perfection, we have to understand from the perfect. Krishna is the source of all perfection. He is the absolute truth. He is the summum bonum. He is the everything, the ultimate goal of life, the cause of all causes. That supreme personality of Godhead who possesses all opulences in full, perfectly. He is describing in this verse of Bhagavad Gita from the 12th chapter, what is perfection? Anything other than this is imperfect. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, for this verse, Vedavyas wants to make it very clear. He begins this verse, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, he says this. Those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshiping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be the most perfect. This is the perfection every human being should strive for. This is the only perfection that brings about eternal happiness. It is the only perfection that brings about an eternal awakening of truth from within our hearts. Therefore, why should we strive, wasting our valuable time for anything else? Srila Prabhupada is explaining so nicely in this purport. Whatever we do should be in pursuance of this perfection. Otherwise, you're just running toward a dark, deep hole full of ignorance and suffering. That's all there is without devotion to Krishna. There are different forms of yogic systems which are explained in Bhagavad Gita. Some people call themselves Siddha Bhavas, Siddhis, but by Krishna's opinion, which is the right opinion, this is not perfection at all. To achieve mystic powers is not perfect. Even demons can achieve mystic powers, healing the sick, performing great miracles, reading people's minds, destroying your enemies through curses. We call these siddhis, but it is not real perfection. It is perfection within ignorance, these mystic siddhis. Perfecting certain material scientific technology within the realm of ignorance. Real perfection is to love God with unmotivated, uninterrupted devotion. In everything you do, Krishna is telling Arjuna, you are a family man, you have to fight this war. Be perfect by doing it in devotion to me. Worship me in your work with transcendental faith. Worshipping Krishna in your work is not the same as the common idea that work is worship. The work itself is only worship if the fruits of that work are offered in devotion to Krishna. Then work is worship. Just working is simply karmic. It's just a karmic activity. If you work honestly, you'll get some pious results that will be exhausted and you will suffer again. Real worship is to offer the fruits of your actions to Krishna. Not only to offer the fruits of your actions, but while you're performing your actions, to be aware that the fruits are for Krishna. It is not that we should just be in mundane consciousness, work like an ass, and then give something to Krishna. We should be conscious and aware that it is for Krishna from the beginning, middle, and end of everything we do. That is human existence. And we should have transcendental faith. Srila Prabhupada gives this translation, transcendental faith. This is very important to understand. Ordinary faith will not bring us to the perfection of life. Transcendental faith means beyond our materialistic conceptions. Material faith is based on our experiences and our observations within this world. If someone tells you that this building was constructed, and under this building there is a foundation. Now you do not see the foundation. You cannot see it. It's hidden by the building. However, you know from seeing soldings, every other building you've ever seen made with bricks and steel has a foundation. So although you don't see it, you have faith. There must be a foundation because I have wisdom from this world. That is faith. If someone tells you, you lived yesterday, you have faith because you have experienced that you lived yesterday. How you live, that is another question, but you lived yesterday. So the faith that is based on confirmation through our relative experiences in this world is called relative faith. If I say that Radhasharan Prabhu has a mother and father, you have faith because you saw your relative experience. Everyone has mother and father. And I've even met his mother and father. They're very nice. You should all go to Downed and visit his house and meet them. They're wonderful devotees. Very humble, very loving, eager to serve. I had to take the opportunity to speak my heart. When Krishna speaks transcendental faith, it means that which is beyond our logical experiences within this relative world. It is infallible. It is perfect. Our faith must transcend the limitations of relativity. Relative faith can be broken by changes in our relative experience. You can have faith in something or someone, but if the environment takes a turn, you will lose your faith. Sometimes a child has such faith that my mother and father are perfect. They are the greatest heroes in the whole universe. They can do no wrong. But then when they get older and they see, they are not so perfect. They lose their faith. When faith is based on our relative experiences or temporary circumstances, it can be disturbed. But transcendental faith means to have faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No other faith can be transcendental, because no other faith is beyond all relative considerations, all relative conceptions, and all the limitations of the phenomenal world. Therefore, we hear the glories of Krishna. How Krishna, when he performs his wonderful supernatural activities, and when he speaks his perfect philosophy, by hearing that, it awakens transcendental faith in our hearts. And that transcendental faith can bring us to the spiritual world. There is no other way. Our spiritual life is completely dependent on the nature of our faith. Spiritual advancement means an advancement in our faith. To the degree we have complete conviction and confidence that Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. He is a person. He reciprocates with everything I do. He sees all. He knows all. And he loves his devotees. He loves all living beings. But he shares his love freely with his devotees. And whatever comes in the life of a devotee is his mercy. Whether it be good things or bad things, whether it be pleasure or pain, whether it be health or disease, it is all for our benefit. It is his mercy, because he is perfect and he always takes care of his devotees. That is transcendental faith. If you have that transcendental faith, every situation in life will bring you closer to the loving service of Krishna. Anything that happens within this existence will increase your desire to surrender to the love of God. It is that transcendental faith that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is a person, and he reciprocates with his devotees. And if I worship him, my life will be perfect. That is what we must strive to achieve in this life. And it is not very easy when all of the civilization is trying to divert your attention to put faith in so many of the fallible soldiers and fallible promises of Maya. So therefore, we must associate with devotees. And we must hear in their association. Srila Prabhupada explained very simple. When devotees would ask, how do we develop transcendental faith? There is only one way: to hear the truth in the association of devotees. That is the process by which faith is planted, developed, and perfected within our hearts, by hearing the truth in the association of devotees. And on the basis of that truth, we must perform our work with that faith. Srila Prabhupada cites from the Shastra, Chaitanya Charitamrita, that faith means that if I simply surrender to Krishna, all my desires will be fulfilled in the spiritual level. If I simply worship Krishna, like watering the root of the tree, all perfections will be achieved. All protection will be provided in this world of dangers. Krishna is especially emphasizing his personal form. To have faith in that which is impersonal is partial realization of God. However, it does not bring about the reciprocal longings of the soul for love. The impersonal conception of God is incomplete, and therefore It is not the fullness of perfection. So the school of bhakti puts all emphasis, 100%, on the personality of Godhead, and delineates in so many wonderful ways, philosophically, socially, logically, culturally, how devotion to the Supreme Lord and faith in the process of bhakti or devotion is the real treasure that our hearts are longing to achieve. And it is also the only means of achieving that perfection. We achieve pure bhakti by practicing the process of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada explained the ends are the means in this process. What do you hope to achieve by chanting Hare Krishna? Srila Prabhupada explained, our goal in chanting Hare Krishna is to continue forever chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. What is the goal you hope to achieve by serving Krishna? To serve Krishna forever with pure unalloyed love. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoite ki thai. I do not want wealth, perishable wealth of this world. We can work for it, we can use it, but that should not be our goal in life. We do not want wealth, we do not want beautiful, beautiful male or female companionship. Because even the most beautiful male or female, how long do they last in their beauty? After some time, we have to tolerate them however they look. That's the best there is. We fall in love. Oh, so beautiful. I cannot tolerate being without you. But then after a few years, we cannot tolerate being with you. That's the way the world is. And then if we're moral, we tolerate. If we're immoral, we leave. We become sinful. A moral person is a person who tolerates. An immoral person is one who just will not willing to tolerate. In the Western world, this is the system. People get married when they're beautiful and young, and then when they get old, they all start looking for someone young. Because the beauty that attracted me is somewhere else. It's not in you anymore. I hate to say it. You look at this picture 30 years ago. This is who I fell in love with. Not that thing that's living in my house with me. Look at this picture. Be like that again or I'll shop around. This is Western civilization. No culture, no tolerance, no purpose. India is becoming like this because it's losing its spiritual culture. The spiritual culture is all contained within the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So Mahaprabhu says, na danam, na janam, na sundarim. I do not want wealth or beautiful, beautiful companionship, nor do I want high birth, or respect, recognition, adoration. I do not even want liberation from the miseries of this world. I have only one aspiration in my existence, and that is to serve you, my Lord, birth after birth after birth. If you want me to serve you in an eternal spiritual body in Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan, I'll be happy to come and serve you forever and fulfill your every desire. If you desire me to serve in this world of birth and death, whether I have leprosy or tuberculosis, whether I'm living in a nice family or a miserable family, doesn't matter. I just want to serve. If you want me to serve you in the hellish planets, it's fine. Let me serve. The gopis, when they were asked for the dust from Krishna's feet, they didn't hesitate to give it, to place it on his head to cure his headache. The rishis in the forest and the sages in the mountains, they refused to give the dust of their feet to place on Krishna's head, even though Krishna said, I have headache. Because they knew, if you put your feet on the head of God, you will go to hell. It's very disrespectful. But Gopi said, put it on his head immediately, apply it nicely, but you will go to hell. Of course we'll go to hell. We want to go to hell. If that's what it takes to make Krishna happy. If for 1 second Krishna gets relief for his headache, we are willing to exchange eternity in hell for 1 second of giving pleasure to Krishna. That is love. That is the love that is required to enter into the spiritual world. How many of us have that type of love? Selfless love. That is the nature of your soul. We have asked the question, how many of you have this selfless love? None of you raised your hands. But actually, all of you have that selfless love. It is your nature. It is your existence. It cannot be separated from you for a moment. You are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is perfect, therefore every part of him is an infinitesimal, perfect unit. And we all have that unmotivated love. Nitya Krishna, Nitya Prema, Sadhya Kabunoi, Shravanadi Sudhi Cheti Kodiye Yudoi. Mahaprabhu has explained, by chanting the holy names of Krishna and serving in the association of devotees, that perfect, selfless, unmotivated love that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying for is awakened from within your own heart. You don't have to get it from somewhere else. You have to just find those people who can help you to discover it within yourself, to uncover it from the layers and layers and layers of forgetfulness that we have in our own existence purposely buried it within. It is like a buried treasure. We have been burying it with more and more of the dirt of material egoistic attachments, birth after birth after birth. Only the pure Vaishnavas can teach us the process of uncovering that treasure of love within us. And that is through the process of bhakti. There is no other way. Bhaktya mam abhijanati avanyasya smitatvata. Krishna says, only by devotional service can I be understood as I am. Only by devotional service can you be understood as you really are. Jivara swarupoi krishnara nitya das. We are all eternal servants of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada had such faith because he had realization. When Srila Prabhupada would say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wasn't guessing. He wasn't speculating. He was citing the Shastra with full realization. Srila Prabhupada said, Guru means heavy because Guru knows. What he speaks is heavier than all the opinions of all the philosophers, scientists, religionists, academicians, all of them together. You put all of their opinions on one side of the scale, and you put gurus on the other, and it is more heavy. Why? Because his opinion is based on guru, sadhu, shastra, and realization. It is Krishna's opinion. And therefore, when Guru cites from the Shastra that this is the truth, even if we hear so many other opinions, we should not consider their validity in the face of the Word of God. That is faith. Srila Prabhupada once told us, he said, when there was only about 300-400 people in the Hare Krishna. He said, if all of you simply had complete transcendental faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we could make the world Vaikuntha in 18 days. We could make this material world into Vaikuntha in 18 days. That is the power of faith. Lord Jesus Christ in Bible, he was talking about faith. He said, if you have as the size of the faith of this little mustard seed, if you have this much faith in the supremacy of God, you can tell that mountain to move into the ocean, and the mountain will be forced to move into the ocean. Hare Krishna. That is the power of faith. Therefore, in the Western world, it is a common saying, faith can move mountains. Now, what is it in our heart? There is a mountain of ego. There is a mountain of lust. There is a mountain of anger. There is a mountain of greed. There is a mountain of pride. There is a mountain of illusion. We have a whole mountain range in our hearts. And this mountain range makes the Himalayas look like little grains of sand. It is so insurmountable. Even ordinary men have climbed to the top of Mount Everest, the highest peak of the Himalayas. But who has crossed beyond their ego and their pride and their envy and their greed, their anger and their illusion? Hare Krishna. And this mountain range is within your heart. It is only faith that can move those mountains. And what is that faith? That if I just please Krishna, he will do it. If I just make Krishna satisfied by my life's endeavors, he will take away these mountains. And it is his promise. Kaunteya pratijanihi na me bhakta pranashyati. He will protect his devotee. Cultivate this faith. We must have this faith. We must hear again and again an association of devotees, and we must avoid those things that are compromising our faith. And if we practice the process of bhakti, if we practice serving Krishna and chanting his holy names, then we know for sure we will perfect our lives by the grace of Krishna. In fact, Krishna becomes subordinate to the faith and love of his devotee. That is the lila of the spiritual world. How Krishna becomes subordinate to the faith and love of his devotee. When Krishna appeared into this world in his original transcendental form, this was his pastime. He wanted to show us how he is conquered by the love of his devotees. This is the most all-attractive aspect of Krishna. In the Western religions, people are attracted to the God who punishes the wicked, the God who has the power of thunderbolts to crush your head if you are sinful, the God who can give you great wealth, the God who can punish you and send you to a hell endlessly, the God who creates this world, the God who maintains this world, the God that destroys this world. But these are very external aspects of God's greatness. This is not what makes Krishna all attractive. This makes him attractive. But his all attractive feature is, although he can do all of these things, he is subordinate to the love of his devotee. That is why Krishna is all-attractive. Other avatars of the Lord are not conquered by the love of their devotees. Therefore, they are not all-attractive. Therefore, for this particular avatar, not avatar, the supreme original person, the name Krishna is given, which means he is all-attractive. All of the opulences of all of the various aspects of God worshipped in all of the different religious systems make him attractive. But the son of Nanda Maharaj is Krishna because he is all-attractive. And what makes him all-attractive? That he has this one feature that is so special and so sweet. It is his supreme of all opulences. Although by his glance he can create the entire cosmic manifestation, by his inhalation he can destroy the entire material existence. By his will, all things are done. By his karmic laws, he is controlling everything. By his power of time, everything is being created and maintained and annihilated within the entire universe. This makes the Lord attractive. But that the Lord has all this, all opulence, all wealth, all knowledge, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all renunciation, he has all of this. And yet, he's helpless. He's helpless in the presence of the devotee who loves him. He's conquered, defeated by the love of his devotee. This is the Leela that Krishna demonstrated in this world. And if we understand it philosophically correct, when we hear this Leela, we cannot but want to surrender to this Krishna and abandon all other varieties of religion. Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha ishami masacha. Krishna says, abandon all other varieties of religion and surrender to me. When we understand what is Krishna, how can we not want to surrender to him? When Krishna was a little boy living in Vrindavan, he stole the butter from Mother Yashoda. After he stole the butter, he was hiding. And when Mother Yashoda was looking for him, he was trembling in fear that she would find him. She was looking everywhere when she saw him feeding the butter to monkeys. She became very worried that what my child is doing, what type of misbehavior, how dangerous this is. She started chasing after him with a stick in her hand, and he was running. How could she catch him? The greatest yogis cannot catch him. But she caught him by his own will. He was captured. He was helpless. And then out of fear of Yashoda, he was weeping, crying, trembling. Mama, Mama, I did it. Mataji, I did it. Please, don't hit me. Please, don't be angry with me. I promise I will not do it again. Just do not punish me. Fear personified. Yamaraj bows at the head of Krishna. When Krishna tells Yamaraj, do this, Yamaraj, yes, master, I will do, in fear. But Krishna, Mother Yashoda is saying, do this. And Krishna is saying, yes, mother, I will do. That is the power of bhakti. She bound him to grinding mortar. And he pulled that big, heavy, wooden grinding mortar
He was only a little baby child. He crawled, and the grinding mortar was pulled along with him. There were two huge Arjuna trees. These trees were so wide and so high, they don't grow like that today. Now, this was in a different yuga. In Kali Yuga, what are the trees? We think big trees, but we read in the scriptures, what is a big tree? There are trees in California that are 7,000 years old. Those are big trees. They are so high and so wide. The sum of the trees, they're so wide. They're as wide as this room. Just one trunk. And they carve a hole in the middle of it, and two cars can drive through it. Hare Krishna. That's tree, old tree. Very, very high. But these Arjuna trees were far bigger, far higher, far wider than those. Krishna pulled the grinding mortar, and the trees came cracking down to the ground. Nanda Maharaj and the gopas came running to see, what is this? How is this possible? These trees falling down could have killed thousands of children, but no one is harmed. How did they fall? Did some demon come? What kind of natural disaster is this, that both trees fall at the same time? And the little children who were playing, they told the cowherd men, we saw what happened. Little baby Krishna, he was crawling. And as he crawled between these trees, the grinding mortar caught between them. He pulled the rope, and the trees fell down. The cowherd men said, this is impossible. Krishna's our little baby child. How he could do impossible? Why should we believe these children? But other gopas were saying, I think it's true. This child is not ordinary, Nanda Maharaj. He does all sorts of wonderful things. And Nanda Maharaj was just smiling. And meanwhile, Krishna was just smiling. And Nanda Maharaj, he wanted Krishna to be protected. He put him in the arms of the gopis. And the gopis began to sing, and they put Krishna on their laps. They were all sitting together, and Krishna was on their laps. He was a little baby, and they were singing and saying, Krishna, dance, dance, Gopal, dance. And as they were ordering him to dance, he began to dance on their laps from one gopi to the next. He was dancing and dancing, and they were clapping their hands, and he started clapping his hands just like a puppet. They would clap their hands, he would clap his hands. They would say dance, he would dance. He was like a puppet in their hands. Devotees pray, Krishna, make me your puppet, make me dance as you like. But when we become pure devotees, Krishna, he wants to be our puppet and dance as we like. That is the power of Krishna's love for his devotee. And the power of the devotee's love for Krishna. Mother Yashoda would be doing her household chores. She would call for Krishna when he was a little child, just walking. She said, Gopal, bring me that wooden seat for me to sit on. So Krishna knew that children cannot pick up such big seats. And Yashoda Mai knew Krishna cannot pick up this big seat. She was just playing with him. Pick up my wooden seat and bring it to me. And Krishna, by an expansion of his expansion of his expansion, Ananta Shesha, he's holding all the universes on his hoods. And he's not feeling any weight. He's just chanting the holy names constantly in great bliss. Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Krishna went over to that wooden seat and he made a big show.
He was struggling, straining, and just doing what appeared to be everything within his power. And then he lifted the seat. Shri Balaram Shri Krishna Ki. He lifted that seat. Amazing. Insurmountable, miraculous feat. And he brought it to his mother.
Mataji, here is your seat. That is Krishna. And Mother Yashoda sat down, heart utterly melted, seeing how her son wants to serve her so nicely. Nanda Maharaj was worshipping Lord Narayan. He said, Krishna, Gopal, bring me my wooden sandals. Krishna was so small, and the sandals were so big. Krishna somehow or other picked up both of those sandals. The sandals that Nanda Maharaj would wear on his feet. And Krishna put those sandals on top of his head and brought them to Nanda Maharaj. My dear father, here are your wooden sandals. Offer them to the lotus feet of his father. On another occasion, Yashoda Mai told Krishna, bring me that heavy object. She knew he cannot bring it. So he went over there and started struggling and straining to try to bring it. But ultimately, he was not able to bring it. Hare Krishna. But he wanted to show that he really wanted to try, even though no child could do it. And he didn't want to break their illusion. But he wanted to show how much he wanted to do it, how much he tried to do it. So he just moved around, but didn't move the object. Just to give that pleasure to his parents, to his devotees. He's appearing to be like he cannot do something. There is a saying, if God can do anything, this is the challenge of the atheist. If God could do anything, as you say, can he make an object so heavy that he cannot lift it? Have you heard that argument? No. That means you don't associate with atheists. This is very good. Can God make an object so heavy that he cannot lift it? If he cannot, if he could lift anything, that means there's something he cannot do. Make an object too heavy for himself to lift it. If he cannot do that, then he's not perfect. There's something he cannot do. But if he lifts it, he's not perfect. But if he can't lift it, he's not perfect. Hare Krishna. Could God make an object that he cannot lift? Yes. But then he can lift it. That is Krishna. He showed. He made an object and he couldn't lift it. But then he lifted it. After he grew up. These pastimes don't just conquer the mind, but they charm the heart. Krishna was playing with Balaram and his friends on the bank of Jamuna. And they were playing so many nice games. But it was becoming very late. It was time for lunch. In fact, it was way past the time for lunch. They were supposed to come home on time. But Krishna was late. Sometimes great souls are late. Sometimes ordinary souls are late. So Krishna was late, so Rohini Devi came out, the mother of Balaramji. He said, Krishna, Balaram, come home. You are already late. And Krishna and Balaram were so absorbed with playing with their friends, they just continued to play. How many parents have this problem with their children? Anyone? You can say Hari Bol if you do. Children like to play. So Krishna was playing. Rohini was helpless. She went back and got Mother Yashoda. She sent Yashoda Mai. You have such love, they cannot refuse you. Yashoda Mai came out, said, Krishna, Balaram, it is already past your lunchtime. Please come home. Nanda Maharaj, he is waiting for you. He will not eat before you eat. You're playing with your friends too much. You must be hungry. You must be tired. Please come home now. Nanda Maharaj is waiting so much. So Krishna and Balaram could not resist their mother's love. So they left their friends and started going home. But their friends were also their devotees. The friends said, Krishna, Balaram, you cannot leave the play now. We're at the best part of the game. This is the summit of our whole day's play. If you leave now, we will never play with you again. So Krishna and Balaram were very much afraid. Our friends will never play with us again. So they ran back into the game and started to play. Hari-ho! Yashoda Mai was waiting. Krishna, Balaram, what are you doing? She started scolding all the other children. She said to Krishna, Balaram, do you think that you are just common street boys? Just playing and just playing all day? It is not good for your health. You are hungry. Your father is hungry. You are dirty. Dust all over your body. Look at your friends. They have such nice clean clothes and nice decorations. Just come home. Let us bathe you. Let us put fresh clothes on you. Let us decorate your body with nice jewelry. Take prasad. Then you can go back and play with your friends. But today, Krishna, it is your birthday. Please come home. Celebrate your birthday by giving cows and charity to the devotees, the Brahmins. So hearing this, Krishna, wanting to please his mother, obeyed her will, and he went home. Rohini Devi and Yashoda Mai, they bathed Krishna with scented waters. They dried him. They put beautiful scents and fragrances on his body. They put beautiful, beautiful, colorful clothes on them. They decorated their body with auspicious tilak marks to protect them. They put various ornamentations to enhance. Prabhupada said, when you put ornaments on Krishna, Krishna makes the ornaments beautiful. It's not that the ornaments make Krishna beautiful. And then they fed Krishna nice, sumptuous prasad cooked with their own hands, along with Nanda Maharaj. And after that, they had Krishna and Balaram, for Krishna's birthday, they had Krishna giving charity in the form of cows and grains and other of the opulences of Vrindavan to the Brahmins. This is how Krishna was taught to celebrate his birthday. Not to take, but to give. The Western conception of birthday is everyone is expecting what I will receive. But the Vedic perception of birthday is what I will give. On this day, I should receive the most precious of all gifts. And what is that? The opportunity to serve. The opportunity to receive blessings from great personalities by serving them. Yashoda Mai wanted Krishna to get the very best She was the perfect mother. She loved her son supremely. There is no mother that can love their child like Yashoda loves Krishna. Because she is the perfect parent of love, and he is the perfect child to be loved. Yashoda is Radharani in parental affection. When Radharani, with the personal pleasure potency of the Lord, wants to enjoy Vatsalya Ras, she becomes Yashoda. The pleasure potency of Krishna wants to give the ultimate gift to Krishna on his birthday. And we should all learn from this. What is the gift she gave? She gave Krishna the opportunity to serve great souls, because there is no greater gift than the blessings of great souls. There is no higher treasure than serving the Lord and his devotees. This is what she had given. On one occasion, the cowherd men, they approached Nanda Maharaj. They had actually an assembly, and Upananda and others, they were thinking that Vrindavan is not a safe place. Krishna is just a helpless child in so many calamities. We have to think first of protecting him. Just see what has happened. When he was only a baby, the great terrible demon Putana attacked. But because of Lord Hari's mercy, he was protected. And then that great whirlwind, Trinavarta, came and picked him up. But because of the mercy of Lord Hari, he was protected, and the whirlwind fell to a stone slab and died. And today we have seen two massive trees have fallen on both sides of him. But because Lord Hari has protected him again, he was saved. This Mahaban is not a safe place. We should go to Vrindavan, which is right close to the beautiful river Jamuna, where there are beautiful forests and fresh grasses for our cows to eat. And there is the Govardhan Hill, which is the perfect place where all the cows and all of us will receive all of our desires' fulfillments. So just with the idea of what the safest place is for Krishna, their helpless child, they immediately pack their ox carts and they began traveling to Vrindavan with the cows and the bulls in front and the gopis on carts, decorated very nicely, Yashoda and Rohini on a special cart holding Krishna and Balaram in their arms. And the cowherd men were all around this beautiful, beautiful procession with bows and arrows to protect Krishna and Balaram from any calamities. Krishna is protecting everyone, but yet he becomes so conquered by his devotee, he puts himself in a helpless position. This is the supreme attractive opulence of Godhead. And this can only be understood by one who has the mercy of the Lord, by one who has bhakti. These most intimate, confidential subjects can only be understood when we receive the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how to achieve that mercy? By associating with his devotees, by honestly, earnestly, and sincerely trying to serve, and by coming together sincerely within our homes, within wonderful places like this, to congregationally chant the holy names of the Lord. Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki. Now we will have kirtan.
For further details of this cassette, please contact Radhanath Swami Tape Ministry. Address is International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir, 7 KM Munshi Marg, Chowpatty, Bombay 400007, India.